right, before we jump in, by a show of hands, whether it's board games, cards, online games, video games, sports, who likes playing games? Wow, quite a few. Okay, now, on the flip side of it, once again, show of hands, like, who hates it? Who just hates playing games? A couple, okay, we're going to have a support group at the end of it for those of us who... Now, we all know in every game that's worth playing, there's a winner and a loser. And that's one of the reasons some of us don't like playing games. You're not competitive, so you don't care about winning, or you're overly competitive and you can't stand losing. I happen to fall into the second category. I won't play a game unless there is a winner and a loser, and it's clearly defined who the winner and loser is. For instance, not too long ago, a good family friend of ours who's part of Relevant, the co-leaders here at Relevant, invited us to their house for a party, getting a lot of people together. This family, this couple, they're nerds, and they love playing games. And so I knew we were going to be playing a game at this party together. And sure enough, they're like, we're playing a game, and they start explaining this game, and it didn't take long, and I'm just like ultra confused. And so I stopped, and I'm like, hey, how do you win this game? And they're like, oh, there's no winners and losers. Like, we're just playing for fun. And I'm like, fun? Like, that doesn't sound like fun at all. Why play if there's not a winner or a loser? Like, this is not a game. This is a group activity you're describing. And I don't care about playing a group activity. Listen, I didn't come here for everyone to get a participation trophy. I don't believe in that crap. Who wins this thing? Now, on the flip side of that, I will not play a game I know I can't win. And games I cannot win and will not play are speed games. Have you ever heard of the game Dutch Blitz? If it's a card, it's a card game. If you've never heard of it, basically, you gotta lay cards as fast as you can. It's controlled chaos. Whoever gets all their cards gone first wins. I absolutely am terrible at it, but my girls, Grace and Reese, who are 20 and 18, they're awesome at it. And they ask me all the time to play, and I decline all the time to play. Not because I don't enjoy spending time with my kids. I do enjoy spending time with them. But because I don't enjoy getting destroyed by an 18 and 20-year-old girl. I mean, they are so fast. By the time I play my first card, they got the game packed up, and they're putting it away. I know I'm going to lose, so why play the game? Now, we all know this. Games require... Real games require a winner and a loser. With that in mind, there's one arena of life. One arena of life we should be very careful about the games we're playing. Unfortunately, whether you like playing games or not, we all end up playing games in this arena of life, and that arena is our relationships. Now, to understand why we need to be really careful about the games that we play in the arena of our relationships requires that we accurately answer this question, and that is, what's the win in the relationship? I mean, whether it's at home, at work, at school, within our church, on your team, what's the win in a relationship? Is the win getting your way? Is the win being right? Is the win winning the argument? Is the win proving your point? Is the win changing them? I mean, for some of us, our actions make it look like that's the win, but none of those things are actually the win. Here's what you need to know, and this is so vitally important. The win in the relationship is the relationship. The win in the relationship with your parents, your kids, your spouse, your boss, your employees, your teammates, one another, is the relationship. A mutually life-giving, healthy, beneficial, edifying, loving relationship. That's the win because the quality of our relationships are a really big deal. The quality of your relationships impact the quality of your life because as your relationships go, so goes your life. But the quality of our relationships are also a really big deal to God because they impact our relationship with Him. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. The moment that Jesus combined those two things, to love God and love others, he did something significantly important for us. Basically, he attached those two things going, you can't separate them. You can't separate the vertical horizontal, the vertical relationship with God from the horizontal relationships that you have with one another. And this relationship impacts these relationships, and the quality of these relationships impacts the quality of this relationship. And listen, as followers of Christ, Also, the quality of our relationships with one another matter because God wants to transform us into everything He's created us to be, and transformation doesn't happen in isolation. The win in the relationship is the relationship. So, we should be very careful about the games we're playing in our relationships because relational games that require a loser create losing relationships. Or another way to say it is when someone loses in the relationship loses. And you already know that because you've been in an argument before. Let me ask you, have you ever won an argument at home? And if you say yes, what exactly did you win? Like, what was the prize that you won? I mean, congratulations, you now get to sleep on the couch. Congratulations, you won the argument, now your son says he hates you. Congratulations, your final zinger left your daughter in tears. Go ahead and take a victory lap around the kitchen island. I mean, no one high fives at the end of an argument. No one says, good game at the end of an argument. No one at the end of an argument goes, hey, let's play best 2 out of 3. When it comes to winning arguments, we lose something very important along the way, something relational. Relational games that require a loser is a game nobody wins because the win in the relationship is the relationship. Unfortunately, sometimes intentionally, but I believe most of the time unintentionally, we all end up playing relational games that require someone to lose and therefore are detrimental to our relationships. And I just want to give you a few examples of those games that we play. And as I go through these examples of games that we play that are detrimental to our relationships, I want to encourage you to do some honest self-evaluation. As I go through these, ask yourself, which of these am I playing? Which of these am I most tempted to play? Here's the first one, the change game. Change game says, I'm gonna fix you. By the way, this game is behind so many of the other games that we play, isn't it? Here's the next one, the silent treatment game, which means I'm gonna withhold communication from you until you do what I want. What about this one, the blame game? You're the problem. This is your fault. Next one is the intimidation game. I'm going to use fear, anger, and intimidation to get my way. And guys, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but this is the game I'm most susceptible to playing. What about this one? The victim game. Nothing's my fault. All my problems are your fault. How about this one? The ultimatum game. If you don't do what I want, I'm gone. How about the comparison game? I'm going to make myself feel better by measuring myself against you. Or the envy game. I want what you have and I resent you for having it. The shame game. I'm gonna make you feel bad until you become who I want you to be. Now this one is so interesting. It's the motive assignment game, and here's how it sounds. I'm gonna tell you why you did what you did, even though I can't read your mind. I mean, even though I can't read your mind, I'm going to go ahead and tell you why you did exactly what you did. What about this game? The degrading game. I'm going to tear you down to build me up. And here's the final example of games that we play. The you're wrong game. I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to prove how wrong you are. Now, let me ask you. Which of these games are you most tempted to play? Which of these games are you playing? Because I guarantee we're all playing some of them. And the problem is with every one of these games is the same. They all require a loser. And relational games that require a loser create losing relationships. When someone loses in the relationship loses. So we should never play any of these relational games. If you want to experience winning relationships, and listen, I believe we all do. There's one relational game you should be playing. In fact, it's the only relational game you should be playing. And this game, it's for players ages 5 and up. It can be played with 1 to 10 players. You can actually play this game alone, but the more people who play, the more powerful it is. And I call this game the honor game. And before I explain what the honor game is and how to play it, you need to know that this game is extraordinarily powerful, but also incredibly counterintuitive. Because in a world that tells us to put ourselves first, promote ourselves, protect ourselves, make life all about ourselves, the honor game invites us to do something completely different. In the honor game, in order to win, it will feel like you have to lose. But here's what makes it so powerful. When everyone plays, everyone wins because the relationship wins, which is why the honor game is the only relational game we should play. The honor game is not something I made up, and it's not new. The Apostle Paul actually introduced it to us 2,000 years ago in the New Testament book of Romans. Romans is actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul about 30 years or so after the events of Jesus' life to the church, to the community of Christ followers in the city of Rome. And here's what he instructed in Romans chapter 12. Be devoted to one another in love. Now, Paul's letters to churches, to communities of Christ followers throughout the Mediterranean Rim in the first century make up the majority of our New Testament. And Paul did something really cool in these letters. What he would do is he would take Jesus' one new covenant command to his followers, to us, which was to love one another just as he first loved us. And Paul would contextualize that and practically apply it of what it looked like in our lives. And that's exactly what Paul's doing right here. He's saying, hey, be devoted, be committed to love one another just as Christ first loved us. And it's like, okay, Paul, well, how do we do that? And Paul's going, okay, here's how. And Paul could have written anything next. Here's the first thing he instructed us to do, to be devoted to loving one another just as Christ first loved us. Honor one another above yourselves. And here's Paul's point. Instead of trying to be first, I want you to go first to put others first. I want you to out-honor one another. I want you to win at honoring one another. And guys, this was something new. This was something foreign because in the first century, honor flowed up the ladder to the people above you, but rarely to those around you and never to those below you. And Paul's going, it does not matter a person's status. It doesn't matter if they're honorable. As a follower of Christ, choose to honor one another above yourself. And here's what that means. Treating others as though they are more valuable than yourself. Now, can you imagine what would happen in your home and on your team and in your T-Life group and at work and at school and in our church and in the world if everyone played this honor game? If everyone treated others as though they are more valuable than themselves. Well, are they more valuable than me? Paul's going, that's not the point. They aren't more valuable than you, but I want you to choose to treat them like they are. But Paul, they don't deserve it. And Paul's going, that's irrelevant. Honoring one another above yourself is not contingent on the person receiving it. It's contingent on the person, on me, on you, choosing to express it, which leaves us with all kinds of questions. Like, why should I do this? More importantly, how should I do this, Paul? Because I'm telling you don't know him, and you don't know her, and you don't know them, and you don't know the person I'm living with. And Paul, thankfully, does not leave us wondering. In another letter to another church, this time in the city of Philippi, Paul wrote this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Selfish ambition is putting yourself first. It's a desire to advance yourself above others, the drive to make life all about you. And vain conceit is thinking you're more important than everyone else. It's believing that your desires, wants, needs, times, ambitions, positions, opinions are more important and more valuable than everyone else's. Now, if we just stopped here and just applied this, it would change everything. If we all chose to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit at home, work, at school, on our teams, within our church, in our families, within our marriages, when we agree and when we don't disagree, it would revolutionize everything in all of our relationships. But Paul didn't stop there. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather, which means instead, in humility, and humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's not making life all about you. Whereas pride puts me at the center, humility never does. Choosing to humble ourselves is how we do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, and is what makes what Paul said next possible. And here's our big idea. Value or regard or consider or honor others above yourselves. In other words, treat others as though they are more valuable than yourself. Not because they are, that's irrelevant. It's a choice. It's a choice to treat them as though they are. And I know you know how to do this. I know you know how to do this because we've all met someone that we would deem or esteem as more important than us in some area of our life. Maybe it was in your company or our country or the entertainment industry, that, you know, the CEO, a famous actor, a professional athlete, the president. We've all met someone that we hold in high esteem. And when you met them, how did you treat them? I guarantee you treated them like they were more important than you. Meaning, you didn't interrupt them. You didn't correct them. You laughed at all the jokes they told, even if the jokes they told weren't funny. When they talked, you nodded your head like you agreed with every single thing that they said. You stood up straight. You looked them in the eye. You shook their hand. You honored them. You know how to do this. Paul's saying, do that with everyone. It's a quick story. A guy named Andy Stanley is a pastor. He's the pastor of this church in Atlanta called North Point Community Church. And in the pastor world, Andy Stanley is held in very high esteem in the pastor world. He's written lots of books, you know, mega church pastor, speaks all the big conferences. I mean, in the pastor world, he's someone, I'm nothing. He's way more important than I am in the pastor world. But more importantly, Andy Stanley's had a huge impact on me and me as a pastor. When I was starting getting ready to be a pastor and start a church, I didn't know what I was doing, and I bought all his books, and I read everything this guy wrote, and I just hung on every word, listened to all his sermons, and went to all the conferences and listened to him. And as someone I've never met before, this guy just made a huge impact on my life and, you know, who I am as a leader, and kind of influenced who I am as a leader and my approach to ministry and all of those things. And I knew, I never thought I'd get a chance to meet Andy Stanley, but I knew if I ever did, I was going to honor him. I was going to thank him for putting all that work into writing those books and doing all those things, because it made a huge, huge impact on me. And I'm a no one, and I know I'm a no one, but I just wanted to honor him with that. Well, a few years ago, I actually got the opportunity to meet Andy Stanley. North Point Community Church is a part of this Irresistible Church Network, who we are also, Relevant is also a partner church with the Irresistible Church Network. And a few years back, the Irresistible Church Network invited myself and John, who is our executive pastor, to come to this private event that they were doing where Andy Stanley was going to be speaking at it. And so, you know, John and I decided to go. And so we're in this room. There's about 50 of us. We're getting ready to get going in one of the sessions. And Andy Stanley is just behind me, a few feet away, standing a few feet behind me, and I'm like, this is my chance. Like, this is my chance to, like, honor this guy and tell him all the difference that he made in my life. And let me tell you what I did not do. I did not go, come here. I got something to say to you. No. I stood up. I walked over to him, and when I walked over him, what I did not do was, sup, bro? Let me fist bump. Let me give you a good game. Did not do that. Walked up very straight, looked him in the eye, shook his hand, said what I needed to say as fast as I could possibly say it to him. He said thank you. I went and sat down. Sat down, felt like a total nerd, but I wanted to honor him because he deserved to be honored by me. Now, so I know how to do this. You know how to do this, but really Side note, this is actually pretty funny. It has nothing to do with the story. But so Andy Stanley gets on stage, and what he was talking about that day was the fact, he's talking about relationships, and the fact that none of us go into any relationship neutral, that we all kind of bring our stuff into every relationship, and how we, that's how we filter how we view people and look at people through all the stuff that we bring into relationships. And Andy said, for instance, I just want to give you some people that I have a very hard time relating with. And he starts going down the list. People who are loud, aggressive, gym guys, tattoos, like sport. He just starts going down this list, and I'm like, he is describing me to a T. And let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't argue. I didn't go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just shook my head like, yes, I agree with everything that you were saying. Let me write that down. All the while, John is sitting right behind me laughing. I could hear him laughing. So John and I leave, and we're back at the hotel. We haven't talked about this at all. We get to the hotel, and John goes, hey, how does one of the guys you respect most in the world, how does it feel that he hates you? And I'm like, I know, dude. Like, what was that? All right, side note, but here's the deal. We don't need a lesson. We don't need a lesson how to treat others as though they are more valuable than us. We just have to decide to do it. Not just the famous somebodies, but with everybody. And then Paul fleshed out what this practically looks like a little bit more. He said, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Not looking to your own wants, desires, needs, concerns, dreams, ambitions, aspirations, or opportunities first, but to theirs first. Now, this doesn't mean you don't have hard conversations. This doesn't mean you don't address things that need to be addressed. It means treating others as though they are more powerful or more valuable than yourself. And once again, we know how to do this. What prevents us from doing it is selfish ambition and vain conceit. Playing the honor game isn't difficult because we don't understand how to do it, but because our selfish ambition and vain conceit fight against it. These two are behind and underneath every destructive relational game that we play. The honor game is the only relational game we should play. When everyone plays, everyone wins because the relationship wins. Some of us, maybe most of us, need to choose to humble ourselves and start treating others as though they are more valuable than us. Some of you need to start playing the honor game today in the parking lot when you leave. And listen, not because they are more valuable than you. That's not the point. And not because they deserve it. That's irrelevant. But ultimately because of what Paul wrote next. Now, real quick, before I get into what he wrote next. If you're not a follower of Christ, I'm just going to kind of leave you right here. You don't need to listen to anything more if you don't want to. I'll just say, if you apply everything we just talked about a second ago, it's going to make all your relationships better. But for those of us who are followers of Christ, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins, and we declared that he's the leader of our life, and we follow him as our Lord, and he is our King, what Paul said next is the reason why we must choose to do this. What Paul said next takes away all our excuses not to honor others above ourselves. And here's what he said. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He's saying, as a follower of Christ, I want you to follow and adopt the mindset, the approach, the posture, and the attitude of Jesus. And it's like, uh-oh, Paul just raised the bar. He didn't make them the standard and how they're acting the standard and their attitude the standard and if they deserve it or not the standard. He made Jesus the standard. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. He never played the God card for his own selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, he made himself nothing. He treated us as if we're more important than he is, and we aren't. He's God. He's definitely more important than we are, yet he treated us as though we are more valuable than himself. He made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Servant of who? Servant of me. Servant of you. People who don't deserve honor from him. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearances as a man, he, and here's that word again, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus humbled himself and honored us above himself by sacrificing himself on the cross for me and for you. And guys, that's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus. He treated you and me as if we are more valuable than him when he took my and your sin upon himself, and took his sin upon himself and died on the cross in our place to save us from the penalty of our violation of sin against Holy Creator God that broke our relationship with him, in order to forgive us, in order to redeem and restore and reconcile our broken relationship with him in this life and in the next. And what that means for those of you who aren't followers of Christ, it means Jesus loves you, and he wants to give you everything that he came to this earth for and died on the cross and rose from the grave for, and all you have to do to receive it is put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and declaring that you want to follow him as the leader of your life. And listen, there's no pressure to do that, but today if you feel a prompting, you feel a stirring, you feel like I ought to do that, I can't believe I'm thinking about that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray to put your faith in Jesus before we close today. And listen, if you choose not to do that, you need to know when it comes to this, honoring others above yourself is optional. But for those of us who are followers of Christ, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus and declared him as our king, and that we follow him as the leader of our life, that he is our Lord, we have no excuse. As followers of Christ, we've lost all our excuses not to follow and adopt the same mindset, approach, posture, attitude, and love as our King, as our Lord. The honor game is the only relational game we should play, because treating others as though they are more valuable than ourselves is how we follow Jesus, by loving one another just as Christ first loved us. Ultimately, this is so important, ultimately, so that they know how valuable they are to their Heavenly Father, because they are valuable to him. And how will they know it if they don't know it through us? The honor game is the only relational game we should play, because when everyone plays, everyone wins. The honor game is the only relational game we should play, because the win in the relationship is the relationship. But in order to play it, you're going to have to choose to humble yourself by confronting the two attitudes that make playing the honor game impossible: selfish ambition and vain conceit. And that's exactly what we're going to do throughout the rest of the series. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about three common relational games we play, most of us have played at some point in time, some of us are currently playing them, that prevent us from playing the honor game. Over the next 3 weeks, as we kind of go through all these three relational games, I am going to encourage you to pack up these three games and throw them away, because they all require a loser, and relational games that require a loser create losing relationships. Real quick, a second ago you just heard me talk about our friends of North Point Community Church. I've got to give them a lot of credit for the direction and some of the content that you're going to hear throughout the rest of this series. But before we launch into the rest of the series, I want to leave you with two questions. If you honestly ask these two questions, and I hope you do, they're going to help you determine whether or not you're currently playing the honor game or some other game. And we're all playing a game. Are you playing the honor game Or are you playing a different game? These two questions are going to help you evaluate that. First question is, are my words, actions, and reactions communicating I value you? Not, are they making them feel valued? You can't make someone feel value. You can only choose to treat them as though they are more valuable than you. Listen, this question works in every relational situation because how we play the honor game is with our words, actions, and reactions. I want to encourage you to intentionally ask this question in every situation with every person for 1 week. Just this upcoming week, ask this question in every situation with every person. Meaning, before you hit send, before you respond, before you react, ask yourself, are my words, actions, and reactions communicating I value you? When you're mad, you're frustrated, when you want to lose your mind on them, ask yourself, are my words, actions, and reactions communicating I value you? When you're arguing with your spouse, when you're correcting your kids, when you're giving feedback to a coworker, when you're annoyed by your parents, ask yourself, are my words, actions, and reactions communicating I value you? Before posting on social media, when you're debating with someone you disagree with, as you're getting ready to complain, when you're thinking about not showing up because you don't want to show up, ask yourself, are my words, actions, and reactions communicating I value you? Guys, as you're getting ready to take her out on a date this week, and as you're out on that date, and you're going to be spending some alone time with her, ask yourself, are my words, actions, and reactions communicating, I value you? When you're driving in rush hour this week, and they cut you off or won't let you in, ask yourself, are my words, actions, and reactions communicating, I value you? For 1 week, I encourage you to ask this question in every situation with every person. And listen, I know some of you are right now, you're sitting next to a person, you're like, you need to ask this question this week. Come on. This is not about them, this is about you. Don't ask this question, don't ask, are your words, action, reaction, communicating you value me? Don't do that. Don't try to change them through this question. This is about you. Ask it of you. Evaluate yourself. And when the answer to this question this week is no, and at some point in time, it's going to be no. For some of you, it's going to be no 10 minutes after you walk out of here. When this question is no, don't justify it, don't defend it, and don't blame them. Don't blame them to go, well, here's why. It's because of you. Instead, ask this question. What's preventing me from playing the honor game? What's preventing me from treating them as though they are more valuable than myself? And if you think and pray about this long enough, and if you're being honest, more often than not, you'll discover what's preventing you isn't them. What's preventing you is the selfish ambition or vain conceit in you. Now, you have to decide if you'll follow Jesus by humbling yourself or not. And I hope you do. I hope you do, because the honor game is the only relational game we should play. When everyone plays, everyone wins, but you can't control and you can't dictate if they play or not. You don't play the honor game because they're playing it. You don't play the honor game because they're more valuable than you. You don't play the honor game because they deserve it. You play it because that's how Jesus first loved you. You play it because the win in the relationship is the relationship. You play it because someone has to go first. And Jesus says to his followers, that someone is you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, when I read passages like Philippians 2 and how you humbled yourself and became a servant on our behalf, people who did not deserve it, I do not deserve it, I am just blown away at your love for us. you honored us in that way? Just mind-boggling to me. And Jesus, as someone who has accepted your love and your grace and your mercy and your sacrifice, how could I not? How could I not follow you in this way and honor others above myself? So I pray that I choose to do this week. I pray that we choose to do this week, that we, as we self-evaluate, we see where selfish ambition or vain conceit is behind the scenes, working behind the scenes. We choose to humble ourselves. And Lord, as we do that, as we treat others as more valuable than ourselves, I pray that it transforms them, it transforms our relationships, and it transforms us. Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, who today feels a prompting and a stirring, who feels ready to do that, I pray that right now, quietly where they're at, either in this room or as they're sitting at home, they choose to do that. That right now, quietly, they confess their need for a Savior because of their sin that broke their relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And they declare, Jesus, they believe in your death and resurrection. And right now, I pray that they put their faith in you by asking you to be the forgiver of their sins, their Savior, and the leader of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.